I think it's probably a good time to get started. So I'll just get rolling. First of all, thank you all for being here and taking the time out of your busy days to spend the next few hours with us. Great to see a lot of faces as well as a lot of names in the participant list. So I am going to go ahead and just go through just a few little updates that we wanted to share with the group, and then we'll take it from there. So first of all, our agenda. So like I said, I'm giving a brief update here, and then I'm going to pass things on to Scott Janis, who always has the important updates. And then Jocelyn's going to talk to us about some WebDCU tools that would be good for people to know about. Trial closeout lessons learned. We've actually been closing out trials, which has been exciting. And then network activity data. There's some fun data to share in terms of what everyone's been doing lately. We squeezed in a break. A stretch, and for those of us on the East Coast, this might be a great time to get your lunch. And then we have our stroke trainee presentations, and I think that is going to be really cool. For people who aren't aware, these are the top three presentations from our StrokeNet fellows, and they're coming from MGH, MUSC, and University of Cincinnati. So it should be some really fun science, and I hope everyone kind of sinks their teeth into it because that's the best part of why we do all this, right? And then we get to site PI responsibilities. And I'm going to say right now that Laura and Iris have some polling questions, and we'll see how much we really know and don't know. And I'm going to tell you, I learned a few things. So I would encourage you to stay tuned so we can make sure we're doing that correctly in our trials. We're thrilled to have the Clinical Research Professional Corps, which hit the ground running back when we got our award in December. And they're going to talk to you about what they've been up to. And then we'll have a little time for any remaining questions or discussion. And I'll do a little look forward to just remind you of some things coming up. So that's our agenda. So thank you again for being here. So starting off at our portfolio, it's always worth taking stock. We last met like as a really big group about 6 months ago, and in Toronto, and it's been a lot of action, right? Arcadia is almost closed. Their last few sites that are closing up, but we heard the punchline and it was definitive, and the field learned a lot about anticoagulation and atrial cardiopathy and started our wheels turning about ESUS and everything. The MOST trial, we've all seen those results. The results, the paper is cooking, and I will just say, I know we're not allowed to share details, but I'll just say upway that it is cooking in a prominent journal, and so we're pleased about that. Many of us have seen the results presented at ISC, and again, a definitive trial that showed us what that we shouldn't be adding our Gatroban or Ectifibatide to our current regimen of IV alteplase or tenecteplase. ACTIVE 4A actually just recently closed up with its last sites. It gave us several answers, mostly about what not to do in terms of antithrombotics with our patients who were hospitalized with COVID-19. I think I just saw in the news that California is at an all-time low since the pandemic of COVID-19. So I think hopefully that chapter is closed. Couldn't wait to get rid of that trial. Arcadia CSI, we saw preliminary final results at International Stroke Conference, and the team is actually tying up those results. And we're going to have an opportunity for a dedicated presentation from them at the next steering, one of the next steering committee calls, and really learn about, you know, what were the punchlines of what we learned with these data. So very much looking forward to that and a chance to really congratulate Arcadia CSI, who's now in the limelight with the latest trial results that, or study results, I should say, that we're all looking forward to. Rhapsody 2 is paused, as you all know. I have no news there. We are just staying tuned. And at this point, our tally is 11 trials, three ancillary studies, and one biomarker validation study. And I sure hope I didn't miss any here. I'll make a couple highlights that are worth noting, trials that are in a particular transition. It's worth noting that SleepSmart is about to have an interim efficacy and safety analysis in the next couple months. Focus. So SleepSmart, for those who aren't as familiar with it, I know we get a broad audience when we do these virtuals, and I hope we've got some satellites here. I see we're up to almost 200 people. But just reminding everybody that SleepSmart is testing sleep apnea and its diagnosis and treatment very early in the hospital, with the idea that it might help prevent the next stroke and recovery from the current stroke. So very much looking forward to seeing those, well, how that interim analysis goes. Focus is studying steroid regimens for pediatric arteriopathy, and it has enrolled two patients, both in Texas, and we are so thrilled to see that study getting on its feet now. FASTUS is another one that's coming with an interim analysis in the next couple months, so we're kind of, holding our breath. You usually don't expect these things to necessarily do much, but we've had a lot of action with interim analyses in our trials in StrokeNet, so we'll see. Sister just started released its sites to enroll, and FASTUS, for those who don't know, factor seven inhibition for hyperacute intracerebral hemorrhage. Sister, that's the novel clot-dissolving antibody TS23. Sites are released to enroll. We're quite hopeful that we will have a patient soon for the first time, a stroke patient treated with this novel drug, and keep our fingers crossed that it works as well as it does in animals. STEP is rolling along in activation. And then the last one I'll highlight, which is going to be our next completed trial, as far as we know, is Transport 2, which is on its way. Last few patients, if someone from Transport 2 is here, they can shout out the number, but I think there were six or seven left
Six.
to go, six now. Yeah, so we should be done with that by the end of May. And everything else is plugging along. I'm sure I could give a lot more highlights, and I'll just say people are welcome to chime in as we get to discussion or put things in the chat box. We definitely want this to be an interactive meeting and useful to you. But that's where we are with the ongoing studies. And then on the horizon, we have Clarity, which is Salacizol for secondary prevention, Telerehab 2, building off of Telerehab 1, which we completed in StrokeNet, looking at telemedicine-based rehabilitation, including dosing and timing and cost-effective analyses. So very excited about what that can mean for our field. And then there's actually more on the horizon, which and Scott will probably touch on that, but we've got some good action there. So then moving on, I wanted to briefly touch for you all on the committee. So we know that these trials are possible thanks to our working groups, who play a big role in giving great advice, not just about developing a concept, but developing the feasibility, making sure that they start rolling on a good foot. That's why we're getting the funding rates that we have to date, which we're starting to see a lot more trials funded, and we kind of hit these peaks recently after COVID. So many of you, your RCC leads, sent nominations for working group replacements back about a month ago. And you each sent one nomination for each acute prevention and recovery. And we encouraged you to try to include a satellite colleague if there was an appropriate one. And we really appreciate getting what were just wonderful nominations. And I'm going to tell you, I think it's one of the hardest jobs we do in StrokeNet, is trying to figure out how to take all these talented people and pick out ones for the working group. So long story short, you're going to hear announcements by May 1st. We're just populating everything. We've got to dot some I's and cross some T's. But what we've tried to do is basically create a significant turnover in the working groups, and moving forward, maintain a one-third turnover every year and have everyone do up to 2 3-year terms on the working groups. So we've kind of managed that, and we've tried to balance making sure the RCCs are represented, whether it's the main institution or their satellites. Specialties has been really important to us, working hard at that. Variety of experience. We're trying to get some balance in seniority, gender, race, ethnicity, and we're trying to get a little satellite representation in there. And I can tell you, I think we've achieved it mostly, but it's not perfect, and it never will be, because that's a really hard list, and there are a lot of talented people. So I take comfort that we're going to be turning things over routinely to kind of make sure we get a wide variety of voices. So stay tuned for that. We'll have those working group roster turnovers to you by about May 1st. As far as the cores go, I see Randy there, and I'm sure Devin's there somewhere, as usual, running a robust core in fellowship education and training, and we'll hear from them with those top three presentations at noon Eastern. You're going to get an update, and so I won't steal Hina and Kinga's thunder about the clinical research professional education and training cores. I will make a note that we are so grateful for the leadership of Bernadette and Leslie, who have composed their teams. They got 27 nominations for, it was roughly about 10 spots on the DEI committee, and you may have heard who you are. And they are going to do a more formal update at a future steering committee meeting, but I wanted you to know that they've got a lot of good ideas and a lot of good energy that they're bringing. And so they're going to first come to the executive committee, vet some of their plans, and then take it from there. patient representative and advocacy. I want to mention to you that we formalized that, for those who don't recall, this round is an advisory committee. We think it's important for it to be more prominent in StrokeNet, as we've learned throughout the clinical research and trial field, in terms of making our trials very relevant. And hopefully some of our patient representatives are even on this call. We've appointed chairs, Flannery and Aquilin, who've been active members of working groups. We're also in the process of expanding this advisory committee. We're going to have a subset that sit on working groups, but a broader group available, and they're going to meet regularly to talk about the things that come up in our working groups and hopefully get a louder voice in our thought processes, and also help us in the long run as we do priority setting conferences. Pediatrics. Heather Fullerton is leading the charge there, and that's probably one of the last ones where we haven't fully activated it, where we had a DSMB call get in the way, but we'll be meeting with Heather soon to get that rolling. But the idea is to have that expertise ready to go for our working groups, for our protocol, for our feasibility assessments, and for developing new concepts. Lauren Sansing is leading preclinical. She has worked, is close to having her group assembled. And she will have a small group that will be available for working group meetings when we have preclinical data to dig into that have implications for this for STUT trial designs. They'll also be available to us as we start to chew on our priority setting that we want to do, or conferences we want to do in the next few years. And then last but not least is Telestroke. Chris and Abby have been industriously running this group and helping push along the agenda of getting more recruitments remotely. So I'll just pause there to see if there are any comments or questions, or I can keep going. Let's see here. Jason's niece and I love the birds chirping, it sounds like. And Arcadia CSI will have an emerging science presentation next week on the cognitive outcomes at AAN. That is great news, Ron. And we'll stay tuned. And we're hoping you'll give us a recap of kind of the whole story at a steering committee call, so everyone can hear firsthand everything that that you've learned to date. So thank you for that. So I think one of my last slides here, I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned to you some great news. I think the DEI committee will be happy with us to see that we've finally gotten this rolling. And it's been a lot of hard work from a lot of people. So I won't even try to say names because I'm sure it up. But bottom line is, we now have e-consents where you're going to have a button right here and you can toggle between Spanish and English. Fastest is the first one. Sleep Smart and Sister are on the way. It takes a good month or so to get each of these going. Anthony Rogers is working hard with that programming, but within a few months, we should have all of the trials up. So stay tuned for that. I think that's a positive thing for sure. And then last but not least, we get back to the agenda, and I'll just take a moment for any other questions before I pass things on to Scott Janis and or Clinton Wright.
Pooja, Jenny asked, when are there openings? When there are openings for specialty working groups, can we be notified more widely? I assume that's like the telemedicine, the pediatric, and things like that.
So you've gotten shout outs already for DEI, for example, for the CRP groups, and you'll get shout outs. Some of them are going to stay a little bit stable from last year and slowly replace people. We've left the specialty committees, which are the cores and advisory groups. We've left that, like, left the composition to be largely driven by the chairs, so because they have very specific needs. But we are certainly working on being inclusive, and we thought about that a lot as we were thinking about the rosters for the working groups, just making sure everyone has a voice in this network. But I will say, first of all, proactively reach out if there's a committee that you're excited about. You'll have these slides, and most of you probably know the chairs at this point. And go ahead and reach out and let them know, because there will be replacements moving forward. And I'll also say that we're counting on all of you when we send these shout outs to also send them to your satellites. So please do that, so we have a good voice throughout the network, and everyone gets included. We have, as you know, this tiered communication system where we send things to you as RCC leads, you send it to the rest of you as satellites and performance sites. Any other comments or questions? Otherwise, I'll pass things on to Scott.